You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning, everyone listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is Greg Bach. I am your host for today. Jane is out on jury duty today, but I will be here, sitting here with you for the next 2 hours on Matt and Air on Air. You are listening to Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you all for coming along for the ride today. Got a great show for you today. Lots going on at 10:33. We got Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, joining us to talk about Governor Evers' budget address, which took place last night. And then at 11:06, we have the Milwaukee County Supervisor of the 6th District, Sean Rowland, here to talk about a life in politics, a life he didn't expect in politics, and what it's like to serve as a county supervisor. Before we go any further, as we always do on Matt and Air on Air, you get the update. The price of a gallon of milk in Wisconsin right now is $3.18. That is not a change from yesterday, but the price, Calvin, can you believe this? The price of eggs, a dozen regular eggs, large, is $5.98 a dozen. That is up 13 cents from just yesterday. So we give you that every single day here on Matt and Air on Air. We have a great show for you. You can always get in touch with us. Call. You can text on the number. It's the same number. It is 855-752-4842. And once again, 855-752-4842. Or you, if you are listening on the live stream right now, which is on Facebook, YouTube, and the site that we still call Twitter in this household, Calvin, you can get a hold of us. You can leave a comment on the live stream, and we'd love to hear from you from the whole day and see what you are up to. And if you have any stories about election from yesterday, we'd love to hear from you as well. 855-752-4842, because yesterday was election day. Calvin, did you vote yesterday?
I did. I drug the whole family along with me.
You forced them to vote, huh?
I don't want to say forced, but I encouraged them.
You encouraged them. I see. Gotcha. Was it a big affair? Was there a lot of people there? What was going on?
It was completely empty when we walked in. Mm-hmm. It was about 5:45 in the evening, and so I do live in a small town. The population's like 1,700 people.
Okay.
But we were like the 190th voters, and I don't know how many more people were coming in after us. So it was definitely pretty dead.
Okay. So it was, because as we have said before, this was a spring election. This was not a super duper exciting, super sexy election. But it's an important one because we were voting in the primary for the head of the DPI, the Department of Public Instruction. And if you don't already know, Jill Underling, and who is the incumbent, as well as Brittany Kinzer, who is one of the challengers, will advance to the April 1st general election, which will take place Tuesday, April the 1st. And Mr. Jeffrey Wright did not make it through, unfortunately. But we are in election season again, Calvin. How excited are you?
You know, I'm not going to say I'm super thrilled about it because the commercials are annoying, but at the same time, those of us at Civic Media do enjoy politics, and it gives us something to talk about, so I guess that's the silver lining.
We definitely enjoy our heart rates being risen over and over and over again, but yeah, we are officially in election season again for the general election coming up April 1st, which is a Tuesday, of course. And if you have any questions on that election, you can always go to myvote.wy.gov, which will give you all the information you need. So very simple website. You can go there. You can check out where your polling place is. You can check out where what's on your ballot for the upcoming election. You can also see who your representatives are, because that's very important. And those representatives have phone numbers. If you want to make your voice heard, you can give them a call anytime you want. Leave them a message. Let them know what you're thinking about the job they're doing. Always be polite, because we always say you're never probably talking to the senator or congressman or person in charge. You're talking to an intern or an assistant. So, you know, we always want to be polite and you know, nice to them, because they're the ones who have to try to take the brunt of all the calls coming up here. Another thing that was on the election docket for yesterday were a bunch of school referendums. Calvin, did you have a referendum on your ballot yesterday?
No. In the small village of Eagle, the school superintendent primary was the only thing on the ballot.
That was the only thing on your ballot yesterday?
Yep, the only thing.
That's interesting. I had three things in Kenosha. So I vote in Kenosha. I live in the city of Kenosha. And I had three things. I had the DPI primary race. I had a school board race, which had you had to vote for two, because there are the seats that are open right now. And we also had a referendum. And the referendum, I'm pulling up right here, was by the way, this will be on the show notes for today. Great story by Jimmy Cuska going over all of the referendums. But they, of the five referendum, Calvin, Kenosha was the only one that didn't go through. I am not, and I've said this before, I am a homeowner, but I don't have children. I do not have any children in the Kenosha school district. But I voted yes for that because I believe that's important to fund our schools. So I voted yes. Unfortunately, the people of Kenosha did not. They voted against this. All the other four referendums, by the way, it's correct, referendums or referenda, whatever you want to say, Kelvin. That's my piece of advice to you today. But they all went through except for Kenosha. I'm a little disappointed by that. So I would like to see that school district. I would like to see all school districts being funded correctly. And I would actually really love to see it happening, not on the taxpayers' dime as far as raising our own taxes. I'd love to have the state invest a little bit more money. And we'll talk more about that with Pat regarding the budget address from Governor Evers. Pat spoke really wonderfully today on his show this morning, Up North News Radio. You can actually listen to that if you want. Go to civicmedia.us, click the show tabs, go to Up North News Radio. And we talked about that in the first hour, and it was just a lot of great information. And we're going to go over that again at 10:33, as he will be our guest in the next half hour. But now that we are there, Calvin, it's time to endure what will probably be a flurry of ads. Are you looking forward to that?
I'm certainly not. I remember maybe even just last week or 2 weeks ago, you and Jane commenting that you haven't been seeing a ton of ads.
Well, so I have not been seeing a lot of ads for Susan Crawford. I've seen so far now two ads from Susan Crawford. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more after the break. But we have seen a ton of ads for Brad Schimmel. I mean, I saw an ad for Susan Crawford, and immediately after that, I saw an ad for Brad Schimmel. They are investing a lot of money in this election. And as we all know, that money's not always coming from Wisconsin. Some of it is. Some of it's coming from the famous billionaires, the usual suspects of billionaires who wanted to make sure that the elections swing their way. But I know it's going to be tough, folks, and I know that we just got out of the most important election ever this past November, but this one's a doozy because, as we've said before, this is for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, and we're seeing a lot of good things coming out of the State Supreme Court. Fair maps. We're going to hopefully get a decision on abortion access. And if we cannot rile up the enthusiasm for the vote, then we can see the reversal on many, many actions they've already taken in just 2 years. And that will be much to the chagrin of the people who are financing these campaigns by the millions of dollars, not the hundreds of thousands, not the tens of thousands, but the millions of dollars that people are pouring into this campaign right now, which we're going to discuss more on the other side of the break. If you have any thoughts on this, if you have any election stories that you can share from yesterday, were you a poll worker? Did you see anything going on? Let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. 524-8542. I was telling Pat this morning, Calvin, that when I walked into my polling place yesterday, there were two ladies in there. One was wearing a, and I'm not lying, a bedazzled American flag hat. And they were kind of like standing over one of the poll workers and asking questions. And I was like, I don't know what's going on here. I don't want to assume anything, but I'm just going to go get my ballot. And I'm going to go walk over, vote on my three things and get out of here. And I did, I filled out my ballot and I was starting to, walk away. They both were just staring at me and I was going to engage and I was going to say, can I help you with anything? But I realized that was probably not the best idea in the world. So I just put my head down, walked swiftly over the machine, fed it, got my sticker, and walked out. Because a person wearing a bedazzled American flag hat, I don't know, looking at me, if you look at me, might not, may think there'd be mystery nannies. I don't know. That's probably me being in my head. But it was a moment where I was actually a little nervous. I was afraid they were going to approach me and ask me about my ballot, ask me about where I live, ask me all these questions that, you know, frankly, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know what they are and are not allowed to ask. So I just made my way, I hightailed it out, and I just got out. And that was, sat in the car for a moment, like, and in my head, I'm thinking, you probably made that a way bigger deal than it was. Because everyone else was having fun. And I was number 99 on the list. So it was kind of a slow day in Kenosha. And we can see by the vote totals from Kenosha itself. But as we said, as we stated before, Jill Underly and Brittany Kinzer are going to advance to the general election for April the 1st for the position of superintendent of the DPI, Department of Public Instruction. And as we said before, yes, Tuesday, April 1st, myvote.wi.gov. Make sure you are registered. You can find out if you're registered there. Make sure you know where you're voting. And you can also always vote early when that when the time does come. We will let you know all that information. We'll be keeping you very, very up to speed. But when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about the other race a little bit more, the Supreme Court race. And as far as what we'll be seeing, who's going to be involved, the money that's going to be coming down the pipeline. And we'd love to hear from you, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can leave a comment on the live stream as well or text your information into us. We'd love to hear from you. We appreciate you being here on this Wednesday morning. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair. On Matinair on Air, you are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is on jury duty. And let it be known from the highest hills, from the tallest mountains, Calvin, that I am jealous of her being on jury duty right now because I love jury duty. But you are listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can always get in touch with us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also find us on a live stream, that which is going to be on our Facebook page. You're also going to find us on Civic Media's YouTube page as well as Civic Media's Twitter page. That's right. I said Twitter because we still call it Twitter in this house. If you're watching us on the live stream, feel free to drop a comment on the live stream. Like Tony here who said, I saw an Auntie Crawford ad right after the Civic coverage last night on YouTube. Yeah. We're talking about the ads coming in for the next election, for the general election, which is going to be on April 1st. It's going to be crazy. We thought the race for Judge Janet Protasiewicz was a lot happening. It was the most expensive judges races in history. Prepare to be outspent because now we have not just the Elines putting their money in, Diane Hendricks putting their money in, But now we have a whole new beast in the game, Calvin. Guess what his name is?
Jabba the Musk.
Jabba the Musk. Ding, ding, ding. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. There's, if you're watching the live stream, you can see Jabba the Musk right here. He's the mascot of Matt and Air on Air. Yes, he is already put, he has already pledged over $1 million in funding for the Schimmel race. It's going to be Brad Schimmel, who is former district attorney of former Wisconsin attorney general, as well against Janet Crawford. I'm sorry, Susan Crawford. And it's going to get expensive, and it's going to probably get ugly. If it's anything by the ads we're seeing right now, it's going to get very, very ugly in the ads, and no one is really looking forward to that. But what I thought was funny is I saw here in Daniel Bice wrote in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning, he said that, according to Brad Schimmel, says he's not for sale to Elon Musk, who's dropped $1.5 million, has committed $1.5 million for the election, and that is on top of what Dick Eline spent, which is $1.35 million in a primary race, by the way. So we're looking at nearly $3 million already from two groups. That's it. That's not even going to say how much Diane Hendricks is going to spend. That's not going to talk about how much outside forces from other groups are going to spend. But we're going to see a lot of money. I think the total for the protest, say, which was $50 million, which is insanity. If I'm wrong, please correct me, but I believe it was that much, Calvin. You ready?
Well, as ready as I'll ever be, I suppose.
He's ready. You're ready to be watching television, and it's going to be a full commercial break of nothing but political ads, because that's what it's becoming now. It's just one ad after, and it's not even like different ads. It's the same ad over and over again.
Yeah, well, that's what where I was going with when I was asking you about not seeing a lot of ads, is because I do like eating dinner with my family and stuff, have local television. It's usually news at that time on. And I've been seeing primarily Schimmel ads, but I've been seeing ads since, I don't know, the beginning of January.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen Schimmel ads for a little while, but I hadn't seen a Crawford ad. And I finally saw my first one a week or two ago. We were talking about that, Jane and I were, if they're going to compete, I don't want to see more ads on TV, but you know, people are going to remember the last person they see. And especially in this situation, Wisconsinites wholly rejected a certain way of thinking in 2022 with Janet Protasiewicz. That was a decided race. That was, I believe, she won by 12 points. That is people who are groups of people who say, like, I might vote for this person for president, I might vote for this person for senator, but I'm voting for this person for judge because we need a certain mindset on there. And I'm really hoping that the Crawford campaign can make that kind of impact and keep this court moving towards fair, because we're getting there. It's a good mix. But if we see Brad Schimmel take it on, if he wins, we will probably most likely see reversal of decisions that have been taken on in the past 2 years alone, not to mention what they could take over after that. And we can be looking at maps being overturned. We'd be looking at Wisconsin going back to the 1849 abortion ban. And I don't think that's what we want. I think we want fair maps. People have spoken. They want fair maps. People have spoken in Wisconsin. They want access to health care, abortion care, things of that nature. And I really wish it wasn't up to who had the deepest pockets to get the to get the most commercials. But that's the world we live in. And I'm hoping the Crawford campaign is going to step up to the challenge. Gene in Eau Claire. Gene, how are you doing?
Hi. Well, you know, I just am just totally confused because I've watched Ukraine get bombed and they have the President of the United States keep people out of his meetings with Putin, who we've all been complaining about, saying that Ukraine started the war. Oh, my Lord. What kind of world are we living in? Anyway, I want to say something about Schimmel the scam man.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I live... I don't live in the city of Eau Claire. I live in a suburb of Eau Claire. Not even really a suburb, kind of in the boonie-like type. Anyway, I have gotten so far, this was maybe a week ago.
Okay.
We got to remember the Americans for the Prosperous. The Americans for Prosperity.
Yeah.
They saw us send out some big, really nice Brad Schimmel. Integrity. Mm-hmm. Fair. Proven. Oh, protect our communities. Oh, 20 years as a prosecutor? Yeah, for lying and not doing rape kits? Oh, great man. Support and defend the Constitution? Stood for our rights as Attorney General? Yeah, right. Remember the teachers. Don't forget this con man. And then put partisanship aside. Oh, yeah, Scotty Walker's little man. Give me a break. That's, he is protecting our communities. So people, when you see this thing, toss the dang thing in the garbage and put money spent poorly. This is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so frustrated.
Understood, Jeannie. I appreciate you calling this always. And, yeah, we want to have the fire and veracity of Jean from Eau Claire. Love hearing from you. Yeah, we would love to put aside money and all those things, but... Unfortunately, we're going to see more and more money coming in. Folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got the host of Up North News Radio, Pat Kreitlow, joining us to talk about Governor Evers' budget address from last night. That is Mr. Pat Kreitlow coming up on the other side of the break after news. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Don't go anywhere. Wash out your heart out, girl, yeah. Wash out your heart. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who's on jury duty right now. Sorry, I got to talk like this when Michael McDonald's playing. You're listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can always get in touch with us. Leave a call, leave a comment, leave a text. Same number, 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Or drop a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the site we still call Twitter. We're going to be talking about right now some budgetary stuff. We got Governor Evers' budgetary stuff. Real nice. Real technical there. Real technical jargon with our guest, my good friend, host of Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network Monday through Friday, Mr. Pat Kreitlow. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
I understand why we hired Dan Schaefer now. We are so easily discombobulated here that we need the occasional recombobulation.
Absolutely. It's like he brings the absolute professional flavor to the politics, not me.
He brings the bobulation is really what it is.
How are you today, sir?
I'm all right. We're definitely multitasking today. We had the governor's budget address last night, and so I'm staring off to the side here as I'm rolling on dueling press conferences, reacting to what's in the budget. You've got Congressman Mark Pocan with a news conference right now.
Yes.
About the Republican federal budget and the cuts going on there. This is a nerdvana for those of us in political news.
Well, we actually had Congressman Pocan on yesterday, and he was talking about these things. He was talking briefly about what he's talking about right now at the press conference, which are these deep cuts the GOP in Washington want to do, and what they will specifically go after, which is, of course, things like Medicaid, SNAP, things that, the people need, not, trying to tax millionaires and billionaires.
Right.
So.
No, because, and again, we caution people all the time that there is a strategy at work here. And, step one is to deny that you're going to cut the thing that people don't want you to cut. Then step two is to say, well, but here's a number we have to reach. We want to cut this much. They don't connect the dots. It's up to everybody else to connect the dots. And then they, and let me just insert, say, Derek Van Orden, for example, they go, oh, we didn't say that. We didn't say we were going to cut that. We said we're going to cut this amount of money, which is waste.
Yeah.
And they fail to say, you, dear constituent, you're the waste that we're talking about, that we want to cut. We're just talking about numbers here, just numbers. No, these are real things. I'm watching one of the press conferences has a teacher talking about, a Title I teacher talking about all the Title I teachers whose jobs could be lost. somebody from a veteran service officer talking about, you know, the direct hit that veterans would take in their health care. These are real things with real people. They are not just numbers on a spreadsheet.
Absolutely. And I like the way, you know, I like the way you put it. You're like, you are the way, Stork. Looking directly at the people who voted for him and saying, we don't think we want to invest in you.
No, and they never did. They never wanted to. What they do is they have a great way of saying to people, well, we're for law and order, or we're against DEI, or whatever the case may be. But that's never been their primary motivation. The primary motivation has always been use those wedge issues to get into power, use the power then to cut their own taxes, cut their own regulations, or what I call protections for consumers and the environment and employees. It's always been about what can they do to enrich their own power and wealth. And if you happen to get caught up in the cuts, well, what's the line from, you know, you screwed up, you trusted us. You know?
You played yourself.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about budgetary matters on a statewide scale here. Tony Evers last night did his budget address, Governor Tony Evers, and I'm reading the headline here from Laura Schulte on the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Tony Evers to propose $2 billion in tax cuts helps for farmers, upcoming budget address. You know, and that's the thing is he's making plans to cut tax cuts as well, but those tax cuts are geared in a different direction.
Correct. And that was the ongoing dispute between Evers and Republicans in the last session was, and it just gets old. It gets so redundant. The Republicans will keep sending him a tax plan that is geared toward the upper brackets, and then the governor will veto it. And then showing that they learned nothing, they will send back a bill with the income tax cuts that are, again, generated toward the very top. And they did this three times in the last legislative session. And the governor, again, last night said, I'm going to propose a middle class tax cut. And it won't take much to wager on what Republicans are going to respond with in terms of their version of a tax cut and rinse and repeat.
Well, I'm going to use the favorite line of Robin Voss as of late. I don't know if this is a greatest hits line for him, but he's been saying it a lot lately in any interview when it comes to any sort of proposal that will talk about cutting certain programs while investing money in other programs. He always says the same three words: dead on arrival.
Yes.
Which and just speaks of such bipartisan beauty and friendship. Yes.
Kumbaya.
Yeah.
You can't spell kumbaya without DOA. No.
Can't spell without bye.
Yeah. No, that's actually one of the subheadings in my article on the budget address that just published at upnorthnewswi.com is GOP calls Evers' plan DOA because this is what they do. There's a difference this time, however. And that is by getting rid of the old gerrymandered maps. Republicans took a beating back in November. They still held on to the majorities in the Assembly and the Senate, but barely. And Robin Voss and Devin Lemahieu in the Senate, they are trying to create the illusion that they are united no matter what, when the fact of the matter is all it takes is just a couple of Republicans in the Assembly or the Senate who don't want to go home empty-handed, who want to go home and say, hey, we actually got something done, and they will do what they can to get Robin Voss to capitulate and still look like a winner and say, well, you know what, we're gonna give up on this particular thing. Mm-hmm. And the best example, and the governor brought it up right to Robin Voss's face last night, was about expanding Medicaid coverage for new moms from 60 days to a year. Because a year is a time of great potential health threats for women after they've given birth. 48 states have taken up the federal government on the incentive money to do this. The only two that haven't are Arkansas and Wisconsin. And in the Senate, a bill to give that protection to new moms passed 32-1. Mm-hmm. And the one guy is not in the Senate anymore, Dewey Strobel. In the Assembly, the bill has more co-sponsors than would be needed to pass the bill. But it's not even up for a vote because of one guy, Robin Voss. And Governor Evers said in the budget address last night, we should not have a situation where one legislator can stop a supermajority that wants to get this healthcare matter done for our new moms. And Robin Voss just had to sit there and stare, you know, and have a blank look on his face while everybody else in the chamber applauded. And that's the challenge he's going to face trying to keep his members together.
If you're just tuning in right now, we're talking to Pat Kreitlow, who is the host of Up North News Radio, which you can find every day, Monday through Friday, on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can also find it on the app. If you don't hear it in your home, you can find it on the app. Download the Civic Media app. I'll tell you more about that later. But going back to, you know, I just imagine that Robin's sitting there thinking to himself, what's it like to have a soul? But really, when it comes down to it, you know, we've talked about this issue a lot, the fact that it's us in Arkansas. And this has now become an issue where when you interview Republicans in the legislature, they're like, I don't really know why we're not voting on this. I can't tell you why this isn't going through. Like, it's past the point of petty. It's past the point. Right. You had Kate Duffy on. Well, actually, I believe it was Kristen was talking to Kate Duffy about this, and she said it perfectly. This isn't conservative. This is cruel.
Right.
And I do not understand how one human, first of all, in his party, how they're not saying, well, you know what? If you're going to keep doing this, we're going to boot you. We're going to find someone else who can do this. Because we can still be conservative. We can still keep certain values. But now you just make us all look evil.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes you look extreme, which is not what the Republican Party stood for the longest time when some of us were a lot younger, when they too saw that government was there to create policies that made lives better, but there would be a disagreement on how much to spend, how much to do. But by taking this Grover Norquist attitude of trying to shrink government to the point where you can drown it in a bathtub, they've boxed themselves in, the most extreme members have, they've boxed themselves in. They can't be for anything because then they can be accused of being a rhino, Republican in name only, because, oh, they increased federal or state spending. They increased spending. Yeah, to give health care to new moms, but they can't even be for that, some of the more extreme members. And what this country needs, what this state needs, are more service-oriented Republican elected officials who say, you know, I actually got elected to get things done. Mm-hmm. I didn't get here to do everything that Tony Evers wants, but I also didn't come here to do nothing, and I did not come here to dismantle my government. I came here to make sure government runs as efficiently as it can and is good with my tax dollars, but I'm not here to tear it down. The people who are here to tear our government down are really exposing themselves for what they are right now when we see what's happening at the federal level and, you know, what Robin Voss and others have done to, say, schools here at the state level, underfunding them for well over a decade. Mm-hmm. And it's my continued hope that bit by bit, that extremism in the Republican Party is eventually nudged out by voters, but it's going to take some time and effort.
Well, and that's one of the things too that's very, very frustrating about this whole thing is that you know Governor Evers he proposed property tax reductions, exempting certain household costs for sales taxes, and a bipartisan measure that would create exemption for income on cash tips for service members. Those are all real world like helps. Those assist people in having a little bit more money in their pay packet every single week. And those are the things that really do well. But we're talking about, like, you know, a party that wants to keep its power by any means necessary and doing things, listening to you discuss it with Greta Neubauer about this. You know, they lost seats in both chambers. But they're doing whatever they can to hold on to their power. They're lessening the amount of people who are on committees, and those people are Democrats. They are putting Robin Voss said he has no problem with municipalities raising their own property taxes to pay for schools. And now what are they doing up in Madison? They want to make it so that they have less power through referendum. They won't be able to raise their own property taxes through referendum because they don't want to do this to the people. Well, make up your mind. Make up your mind on this one.
And that's the tell, that it is about, you know, the most extreme position possible to be anti-government. And Greg, you've heard me say it once, you'll hear me say it 1,000 times. Those who hate government the most should be trusted the least to run it competently. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're going to take a short break in a moment here. When we come back, I want to talk about something that was mentioned in this article that, you know, there's so much stuff in the news cycle that happens. They either enter your brain or they just kind of bounce off your head. And really one of the things that I want to discuss with you further on the other side of the break is this budget really being put together to combat, as it says here, the chaos caused by the federal government. Because, of course, we now have to do that. And when you have debt on arrival, Robin Voss, what do we do to try to help the people of Wisconsin? But we're going to keep talking about that with Pat Kreitlow, who is our guest for this half hour. He is the host of Up North News Radio.
And who has the best walk-up music. Tell you, whether it's Michael McDonald or other Yacht Rock or Stevie Ray Vaughan, am I not the luckiest guest on this network?
You are the luckiest guest on the network, Pat Kreitlow. Folks, you can be part of the conversation. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Drop a comment on the live stream. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on your Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Aaron, who is currently out today serving on a jury, possibly. We don't know. It's jury duty day for Jane, but hopefully she'll be back tomorrow. If not, we'll see her on Friday. I am here for the rest of the show. We got Calvin on the boards, as always, and we are hanging out with our good friend, our dear buddy, Mr. Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio. You can hear it Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pat, guess what?
What?
The spring training of the Brewers kicks off this weekend, and they're taking on the Cincinnati Reds at 2 p.m. You can listen to that game on Civic Media.
Up north.
Up north on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, or WBZH in Hayward. So
yeah, Hayward.
Yeah, there, Hayward. If you want to kick back with a cool beverage on your really cold deck, because it's not going to be like a spring day. But you can listen to spring training begin this weekend on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am so. I kind of feel looks like we made it.
Wait a minute. I'm drawing the line at Yacht Rock, we're not going to go full on 70s.
What?
Barry Manilow. We got to draw the line someplace here. And my line is smooth. So.
We were actually talking about the budget address made by Governor Evers last night. If you want to be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or drop a comment on the live stream, which is on Facebook, YouTube, and the place we still call Twitter. We'd love to hear you and love to hear your thoughts on the upcoming budget. Yay or nay? We'd love to hear. We'd love to know. I mentioned this beforehand, and, you know, I don't know why I didn't think about this, and I'm sure a lot of other states are going to be doing this for the next at least couple, if they are bienniums as well, but you got to build a budget around the Trump administration, because you could have funding on a Tuesday, and then on Tuesday night, who knows, maybe all that funding is gone forever, like Head Start or whatever.
It turns out that 28% of the Wisconsin state budget is federal funds of one sort or another. Yeah. And I say one sort or another because it's so scattershot what Elon Musk and President Trump, his loyal assistant, you know, are doing about this, what they're going to target next. I'm sure you mentioned, as others have, the number of Wisconsin farmers who are learning that they, you know, they're not going to get the payments that mm-hmm. they signed contracts for.
Yeah.
You know, they can't break that contract, but apparently Elon Musk and Donald Trump can, and they're going to miss out on tens of thousands of dollars as part of conservation programs. And by the way, let me add this side note. This one particular farmer that we talked to started getting all kinds of hate mail, you know, messages on social media, tech, people tracking him down and saying, well, that's what you farmers get for voting for Trump. And we had to redo the story for him to make clear he did not vote for Trump, that people were jumping to conclusions. And so, first off, people, be nice.
Yeah.
Second, don't jump to conclusions on who people voted for or didn't vote for. And third, don't jump to conclusions that spending, all federal spending, is wasteful and bad. Because, yeah, it's easy to say, oh, you know, they're paying farmers not to grow crops. That's dumb. Until you look into it and realize that what a good thing that is, that it preserves the topsoil, it prevents fertilizer from running into the streams. I mean, hey, if you want water pollution and another dust bowl, go for it. But this is a good use of money, even though it's easy for some people to mock, until you study it more. Just don't jump to conclusions, folks.
Yeah, and the other thing too, and even I struggle with this. I saw a tweet from a person who was very adamant about, like, if you voted for Trump, you know, I hope you get what you deserve. And that included all sorts of people. And while I don't feel right about that, the farmers are one group of individuals that, even if they voted for Trump, I still have it in my heart that I want them to be able to get what they need. Because here is a group of individuals, and we've talked to Darren Van Ruden. Right. And we've spoken to Hans Breitenmoser as well, and Pam Jahnke. And these are folks who just want to get the work done, regardless of who they voted for. But they have been toiled with and played with for the past how many decades by both sides, saying, we love the farmers. The farmers are the backbone, and we love. But yet, they're, you know, we got a farm bill that's, you know, it's an assignment 2 years overdue. We've got Tony Evers trying to cut some taxes to help the farmers, which will be dead on arrival by the Republicans. It just doesn't make sense. So, like, when it comes to the farmers, I get real protective. I'm like, let's not with them.
No, because, again, the rural Wisconsin economy is a significant part. I've been saying this forever. I've lived in Milwaukee. I have lived in Madison. I have lived and worked all throughout rural Wisconsin. We all need each other, and one needs to stop trashing the other. If we're not looking out for each other, you know, then all that funding or help that we would otherwise get is going to go to other states anyway. So why don't we work together on these things, not paint people with such a broad brush, and be aware of, you know, what some of these politicians are actually doing. They'll pay lip service to farmers or to children mm-hmm. or to veterans or whatever, but look at what they actually do. And that's key to all the coverage of what Republicans are going to counter-propose to Governor Evers and what Republicans in Congress are doing, is get past where they go, we're going to cut spending, cut taxes, cut regulations. Yeah, but what will you really be doing? And if you're making things worse, then that lip service means nothing.
Absolutely. Pat, thank you so much for being on the show. As we said before, Pat Kreitlow is the host of Up North News Radio. Also, check out Up North News from the Courier News Desk, because he is the founder of that. You are the founder of Up North News, as part of Courier News. You were just a guy doing all the things.
I am their father figure. Yes, put your tiny hand in mine.
Oh, my God. Up North News. All right, on that note, thank you so much, Pat, for being here. We were very excited to talk to you, as always. Folks, stay close. Morning. On the other side of the break, we will have Sean Rowland, who is a county supervisor from Milwaukee, talking about a life in politics and what could happen for you to have a life in politics. So don't go anywhere. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.